We are in Alma 23 and 24 today. And the coolest thing is that these people now, all throughout the land, King Lamoni's father, it's led to all of them having total religious freedom and the choice. And they don't dictate to them what they have to believe. They just have the freedom to believe if they want. And I just love that. And it tells us that many repented and were able to come to a knowledge of the truth and feel joy. And it's just that same pattern that once you have that, you want to allow other people to have that. And so this has happened, and it's so cool. And what a joy for all of these, Ammon and his brothers, all of these missionaries who were participants in this and were patient in their suffering and trusted that God, and man, the harvest. And here we have in verse 5, and thousands were brought to a knowledge of the Lord. And I just love that. And it tells us in verse 5, they were taught the scriptures. And then here's a really important scripture in verse 6. And this was the thing that I want to center around in these two chapters that I felt the Spirit was saying we should center around. And as sure as the Lord liveth, this is verse 6, so sure as many as believed, or as many as were brought to a knowledge of the truth through the preaching of Ammon and his brethren, according to the spirit of revelation and prophecy and the power of God working miracles in them. So remember, that's the power of God, not Ammon, working miracles in them. He is allowing himself, Ammon and his brothers, to be used, but it is the power of God. Yea, I say unto you, as the Lord liveth, as many as the Lamanites has believed in their preaching and were converted to the Lord, never did fall away. And I remember teaching one of my seminary classes in Sunday school one time, and one of my students said, you know, so many times I wish that I got to be a convert. I wish I had found the church later so that when I was baptized, all my sins were washed away. And this is a story that can really lead youth and those of us that have struggled in our lives to think that. Is it better to find it later? And I remember hearing a conference talk right after this lesson and having this discussion with these students and saying to them, what do you guys think? What do you think about that? And I loved it because in this conference talk, this general authority, and I'm sorry that I didn't look it up and find it, said so often when we have taught people the thing that they say is the same always. I so wish I had known this. It would have spared me from so much heartache and repentance in my life. We are so blessed that we have a knowledge of the truth. And yes, we have a responsibility to share it so that others have access to the covenants and the ordinances of the temple and the priesthood blessings that we do. But the biggest blessing is that we know the path that spares us from heartache. And what an awesome blessing that is. And so I loved that. That was such an answer to prayer. And I remember thinking that as a youth. And so I loved that. Okay, and so we know that they lay down their weapons. You guys know this. That goes along with the conference talk we just had of the waters of Kinshasa, where the people in Africa throw their idols and things that they're struggling with in the churning waters from the waterfall, never to retrieve them. And I was so touched by that modern day illustration of this cool story. And then I love in verses 9 through 13 that it details all who joined the church. And holy night, what a list. And you can go through that, all the people in Ishmael, all the people in Madoni, and it keeps going. And so that's so cool. And then it says that all of them in verse 13 were Lamanites that were converted to the Lord. And these are they that laid down their weapons of rebellion and their weapons of war. They were all Lamanites. And then in 14, and the Amalekites were not converted, save one only. And don't you want that story? I want that story of that one Amalekite. Neither were there any of the Ammonites, but they did harden their hearts and also the hearts of the Lamanites in whatsoever place in the land they dwelt. And that's so important. Again, that influence of others we surround ourselves with. And one of the coolest stories that I remember is a friend of mine who teaches seminary was studying this picture of the five wise and the five foolish virgins, the 10 virgins, because we were studying the New Testament until January. And she called me and shared with me as she was studying that picture, trying to find something new. The impression came to her. Notice that the five wise are standing together and the five foolish are standing together. And then the thought came, who are your wise? Who have you surrounded yourself with? And it is so important that we surround ourselves with others that will keep us making wise choices. When we begin to falter, or our faith begins to wane, or our patience is tried, that we have surrounded ourselves with others who strengthen us. And I love that. So this is so cool because it shows the opposite of that. The Amalekites and Ammonites were able to change the hearts of the Lamanites and influence them wrongly and influence them for the worse. And so, that's just such a great example of that. And we know that they hardened their hearts. And so I do want that story, though, of that Amalekite. And someday we're going to have it. And that's going to be cool. It reminds me of 3 Nephi, when Nephi and Lehi are in prison and they're surrounded by fire, remember, with all of the prisoners. And one, and I think it's an Amalekite or an Ammonite, I don't know which, knows what's happening. But someone who is dissented, I should have said, a dissenter from the church who once was a believer, knows that he is talking to God and the angels, and the Holy Spirit is having an effect on Nephi and Lehi. So he tells the other prisoners, pray. And so that's what this reminds me of. And won't it be cool to hear that story? Okay, in 17, we know they get a new name, the Anti-Nephi Lehis. I love that. And anti means mirror image of. That was something that bothered me my whole life, because we think of anti as being against, but it means mirror image of. So a mirror image of Nephi and Lehi. They want to be a mirror image of them. And I think that is so cool. Don't we want to be a mirror image of them and a mirror image of Christ? So I love that. And then in 18, we know the curse is gone. And I love that it says, and they began to be industrious and friendly and open a correspondence, and the curse of God to follow them no more. And we know the curse of God is being cut off from God. So that is gone. They have the Holy Spirit. They are under his influence, and we know that. It's obvious, and that comes from repentance, and it's so cool. Okay, so in 24, we now know that these Amalekites and Ammonites had such an influence that they persuade these people to rebel against the king, and it's so sad, and the king dies, and I'm sure part of this is just, it's disheartening, but what a hard thing for him to die and see all of this. He changes. He so wants his people to change, but he dies. So they have this council, and I love this, and they come together to decide what to do. And this so touches me. In 6, they decide that no one will take up arms. And not only that, their king commands them not. Isn't that the coolest thing? And then in verse 7, it says, now these are the words which he said. So we have his prayer, and I just love this. He said to the people, I thank my God, my beloved people, that our great God in his goodness has sent our brethren, the Nephites, unto us to preach unto us and convince us of the traditions of our wicked fathers. I mean, what a change. And he goes on, I thank my great God in verse 8. He has given us his spirit to soften our hearts. In 9, I thank my God, by opening this correspondence with the Nephites, we have been convinced of our sins. Verse 10, I thank my God, my great God, that he has granted unto us that we might repent of these things, that he has forgiven us, that of those our many sins and murders which we have committed, and taken away the guilt from our hearts through the merits of his Son. And I love that, because we've talked about true repentance. The way we know we have truly repented is our guilt is swept away. And Alma the Younger is such an example of this, as he tells his story again and again and again. And so often we don't want to tell our faults. We don't want to tell what we've struggled with. But Alma is the example. Alma the Younger, he can tell it. His guilt is swept away. That is not, and do you remember the conference talk where they quoted, that is not, that is who I was. That is not who I am.
that is no longer who I am. And I love that. It's all about becoming. The atonement is, and life is all about lessons, and repentance is changing and each day becoming closer to Christ. And that's what we're supposed to do. It's all about learning and becoming. So we can share our stories because our guilt is swept away. That is no longer who I am. And I love that. And so he goes on and he says that he loveth our souls. Our guilt is swept away. It's just beautiful, this prayer that he utters. And so then I want to skip to verse 15. Oh, how merciful is our God. And now behold, since it has been as much as we could do to get our stains taken away and our swords are made bright, let us hide them away that they may be kept bright as a testimony to our God at the last day, or at the day that we shall be brought to stand before him and be judged, that we have not stained our swords in the blood of our brethren, since he imparted his word unto us and has made us clean thereby. I love that. What a cool, cool testimony. And he wants them to all covenant and have a testimony to God that they are no longer those people. And so, you know, they bury their weapons, they covenant with God. And we know repentance is a complete change of direction, a 180 degree turn. And I love that. I have that written on verse 18. And then in verse 19, it says, and thus we see that when the Lamanites, and here's the truth again, a second witness, were brought to believe and to know the truth, they were firm and would suffer even to death rather than commit sin. And thus we see they buried their weapons of peace, or they buried their weapons of war for peace. And I love that. Okay, so we know that the Lamanites come against them, and their purpose, it tells us in verse 20, is to destroy the king, to place another in his stead, and to destroy the people of Anti-Nephi Lehi. So they want to get rid of God. That is their purpose. And so these people kneel down, you know that, they pray, they bow to the earth and pray, and they start to be killed. And I love in 22 that we have 1,005 were killed. Every single one of those people counts and is important to God and is numbered to him. And I love that. And what I love even more is that those that are fighting them, the Lamanites, their hearts are swollen, we are told. And they did forbear from slaying them, excuse me, verse 24, many hearts swollen, and they kneeled down beside them, and their own brethren, their own people start to kill them. But then it ends, and it tells us in verse 26, and it came to pass the people of God were joined that day by more than the number who had been slain. And isn't that the purpose? Isn't that our purpose? We need to have an eternal perspective. That's what we're here for, is to bring people to Christ. And if we have an eternal perspective, should we die before our journey's through? Happy day. All is well. That is so cool. And it does tell us in 29, not one of those who joined them was an Amalekite or an Ammonite. They were all descendants of Laman and Lemuel. And although it's gut-wrenching that these people that leave the church don't come back, what a celebration for Laman and Lemuel's posterity that they have been brought to a truth. And what a testimony that if we hold true to our covenants, that promise that not one of ours will be lost. I just think that's so neat. Okay, and then in verse 30, here's the third witness of this exact truth that we want to center on. And thus we can plainly discern that after a people have been once enlightened by the Spirit of God and have had great knowledge of the things pertaining to righteousness, and then have fallen away in sin and transgression, they become more hardened, and thus their state becomes worse than though they had never known these things. It is huge to bring someone who is a dissenter, someone who has fallen away, someone who no longer has the heart to believe and has gone through hard things. It is huge as a missionary to bring one of those back, one of those souls. And it just reminds me of that story I told you guys about my friend that I had been assigned to be a secret ministering sister to. And when she called to tell me she was going through the temple, the words that came to my mind, and thus my sister was lost and is found. God loves all. And I love this story and I love the example of commitment. And it makes me, who has been a believer my whole life, so desire to be as valiant as those anti-Nephi Lehis were, to have that commitment. That's what we want to pattern. That's what we should desire. I hope you know the church is true. And more than that, I hope you know God loves you.